God, source of all blessing, open our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds to receive that which you have to give us this day. Amen. I suppose there are some terrains, in fact, I know there are some terrains in the world which have no trees. Perhaps the Antarctic, the Saharan desert, the ocean surface and floor. Those are not places I would wish to live because I have always had an affinity for trees. As a child, I was a tree climber. In fact, when I was middle school age, throughout my 6th, 7th, and 8th grade years, I claimed a special sanctuary tree. Of course, it wasn't really mine. It was on the campus of Western State College in Gunnison, Colorado. It was on the other side of a small campus parking lot which divided the backyard of my family home from the campus. Other than being a deciduous tree, I don't even know what kind of tree it was. Didn't pay much attention to things like that at that age. It was not especially large, but it was a great climbing tree. The middle school version of me very easily accessed the lower branches from the trunk and then disappeared into the upper branches. Though they were not especially large branches, they were plenty large to bear my weight at that time. While perched in this tree, I was not especially high off the ground, but I felt I was in another world. Students, faculty, staff, other neighborhood kids, dogs, and cats would pass by on the sidewalk below me without even acknowledging my feet dangling over their heads. Looking back from my adult perspective, I surely was not invisible, but I felt invisible. Yet, I felt very visible to the tree itself, which kindly hosted me in its branches. As I said earlier, it was my sanctuary tree. When I was sad, I would seek solace in its branches, letting my tears flow silently down my face so as not to give away my hiding place. If mad, I would escape that which made me angry, allowing the hot blood coursing through my veins to gradually be cooled by the gentle breeze flowing through its leaves. On other days, I simply sought the solitude it offered as a place to sit quietly and ponder the world below and around me. In her commentary on this week's scripture readings, Reverend Lauren Wegner notes the importance of the image of the tree in our reading from Jeremiah and today's psalm. Both those readings use the image of a tree planted by water to describe someone who is blessed. Says Jeremiah, "It is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit." The psalmist says, "Everything they do shall prosper, those who are like such trees planted by streams of water." Wegner goes on to observe that trees might also be an image for how our own hearts and lives shift. Says Wegner, "Trees reach down and up. They send roots through the ground and trunks and branches skyward. They are both grounded and growing, stationary and on the move. They stretch, they reach, they seek what gives them life, water, soil, and sun. At the beginning of today's gospel reading from Luke, people are seeking what gives them life. Rather than seeking water, soil, and sun, they are seeking the healing touch and words of Jesus. What they seek, they find, because Jesus is the source of what it is they need to hear and receive. Like Jeremiah and the psalmist before him, Jesus pronounces blessing on those in need of being blessed. Yet Jesus does it in a way that has never been done before. He turns the whole concept of blessing completely upside down. The reason he does this is because the people he is addressing have been and are a part of social constructs in which they have heard a very different message. The Greek word Luke uses for blessed is makarios. In the Old Testament, right living or righteousness. If you lived right, you were blessed. Being blessed meant you received earthly material things, a good spouse, many children, abundant crops, riches, honor, wisdom, beauty, good health, and on and on. A blessed person had more things and better things than an ordinary person. To be blessed, you had to have big and beautiful things. Compared to those who did not have such things, it would be easy for one's sense of blessing to begin to be falsely understood as entitlement. Were the blessed, were those that had all these things entitled to such goodness because of their rightness? Actually, it doesn't sound that far removed from our own social construct in the 21st century of the American dream. People who work their way to economic and social success see these things not just as blessings, but something to which they are entitled. They are entitled because of their hard work, their education, and their ingenuity. When Jesus, however, begins to talk about blessing, he uses this word makarios in a totally different way. It is not those who possess good and beautiful things who are blessed. Rather, Jesus pronounces God's blessings on the lowly, the poor, the hungry, the crying, and the hated. This was a radical redefinition of what it meant to be blessed, that blessing would flow from a bedrock of humiliation. For as Mary sang in her song, God is a God who looks with favor on the lowly and lifts them up, fills the hungry with good things, and scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, brings down the powerful from their thrones, and sends the rich away empty. By his presence, compassion, and promise, Jesus blessed humility and the humble of heart. Through his word and actions, Jesus helps us to see that the true source of blessing has nothing to do with what we have or don't have. Indifferent to status and wealth, true blessing has everything to do with where we place our trust and in whom we trust. In Jeremiah's words, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. Says Jesus, woe to us when we mistakenly think wealth, rich food, pleasant circumstances, good entertainment, and status in the world's eyes are the source of blessing. While we may indeed experience these things, we dare not stake our lives or expect the lives of others to be staked upon them. Perhaps Walter Pilgrim says it best when he says, "It is not just poverty or riches per se that is blessed or condemned, but poverty in the context of trust in God and riches in the context of the rejection of God." Pilgrim then quotes Thomas Hoyt as saying, "The kingdom belongs to the poor, but the rich share in it by virtue of their treatment to the poor and needy." Thus, that in which we are rooted is the true source of our blessing. As Christians, as children of God, we are rooted in the death and resurrection of Christ, the suffering, redemption, and liberation of the one who continues to give us life. The author of Luke, in his sequel, Book of Acts, refers to Christ as being hung on a tree. This has led some artists to depict Christ in this way. To return to our imagery of a tree planted by water, we might think of the cross in this way, as a living organism that was used as an instrument of death, which God then transformed into an instrument of life. By tapping into its roots, we are waters it, the water of baptism, and it does not cease to bear the fruit of the body and blood of Christ through the bread and wine of communion. It is our sanctuary tree in which we are restored, healed, and blessed in order to be a blessing to others. So, whatever state we find ourselves in, and we will find ourselves at one point in all these states, whether rich, poor, weeping, laughing, hungry, full, hated by the world, or loved by the world, let us root ourselves in that which brings us together. Together may we exchange tears, laughter, food, forgiveness, and compassion, and remember that we are beloved children of God. We are called and blessed to work alongside God, to end disparity, to end the unfair gaps between rich and poor, so that all the world is clothed, fed, loved, and nourished. May God make it so. Amen.